This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camaro.
That's one small step for man and one giant leap for the Decibel Geek Podcast. I am Aaron Camaro, joined as always by Chris Sinzak.
How's it going?
Going good, man. This is going to be fun today. I enjoy this idea.
Yeah, you know, this is all you. I'm glad you came up with it, and it's good for the month of October.
Well, because we're working on something big, and we don't want to half-ass it, so we're giving ourselves the time to really get it together
right
before we present it to you. So this is kind of a stopgap episode, if you will, but I think it's going to be a good one. A
lot of good songs today.
But before we get to all that, we got to take care of our business, and man, business is good. Once again, here at Decibel Geek, because we've got an Apple Music review, and we've also got a Facebook recommendation, and they're both damn good. This one's entitled Cool Hard Rock Metal Podcast, and it's got all five of them stars. Oh, I like that. Goes a little something like this. I'm relatively new to the podcast, about 8 episodes in, but so far, I really like what Chris and Aaron are doing. They take a different approach to each episode, various hard rock and heavy metal themes, which keeps it fresh. I'm not aware of another podcast that does this, which is really cool. They're also very funny. Check this podcast out. That's perfect.
Nice.
That's a really sweet iTunes review, 5 stars. That comes to us from W.J. Taylor. And we appreciate it very, yeah, very much.
I love hearing, especially from the newer listeners that are just catching on to the show. That's great.
And that's cool. You're kind of getting an outside-of-the-box theme here today.
Yeah. We've never done this before.
Out of emergency. But yeah, nonetheless, I think it's going to work out.
Yep.
And then we've also got a Facebook recommendation from our good friend Darren Parkin. He recommends the Decibel Geek Podcast, and he says, because it's a quality podcast. Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camaro are great together. If you like rock and metal, this podcast is for you. Listen every week. You better listen to him. When Darren Parkin says listen every week, you got to do it.
And he included a really interesting picture of Ace Frehley.
He looks so stoned.
He looks completely obliterated in this picture. That's awesome.
That's probably what Darren imagines me looking like every time he listens to this show.
You do look like that.
I know. It's great. Yeah.
I can barely see your eyes right now.
Oh, man. Speaking of having a great time, last week we had a great time.
Yes.
Man, that was an excellent episode.
A lot of new music for my playlist.
The Professor, Patrick Hill, came on with us, and man, he turned us on to all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, it was great to have him on, and I loved his picks. He definitely knows his music.
Yeah, he does. He turned me on to some really good stuff.
I think he likes George Lynch a little bit.
I'd say just a little, just a pinch. A pinch of the Lynch.
Nothing wrong with some George Lynch.
Nothing at all. We had a lot of people that really liked last week's episode. They went out, they shared it, they retweeted it, all that good stuff, and that makes them our honorary Geeks of the Week.
Yes, Geeks of the Week this week are Jay Shabluski, Crash Crafton, Joseph Capone, Scott Crouch, Greg McGlone, Dan Nation, Brad Kalmanson, Kristen Schimbeck, Christopher Stokes, Adam Cox, Sean Cullen, Wayne Cross, Jeffrey Mendenhall, Bill Elam, Darren Parkin, Mikhail Burrell, The Bakery Podcast, Aaron Baker, Brant Cattell, Ken J. West, Paul Korn, Alan Tate, Shay Harkett, Ray Kuhn, Warren Edward, LaRue Baker, Shane Abair, Ernesto Aguiar, Eladio, and as always,
the Mooger Fooger. Yes, those are our people, our good friends, our Geeks of the Week. If you want to become one, all you got to do is share and retweet this week's episode, all honoring the Harvest Moon.
Yeah, interesting idea. And when you pitched it to me initially, I was thinking, is there going to be very many songs about the moon that are going to have moon mentioned in them that I'm going to be good with playing? And didn't take long. There's a lot.
There's a bunch.
I had a bunch left over, even.
Well, the moon's been around for a long time.
A little bit.
People have been writing songs about it since the beginning.
Yeah. So
the Harvest Moon, also known as the Autumn Moon or the Hunter's Moon, it's that time of year when the moon shines a little bit brighter and appears shortly after sunset. This signifies a time of great abundance. And today, we're going to celebrate with an abundance of great songs all about the moon.
Yep.
So you want to kick us off?
Yeah, and this is obviously the first song that came to mind. It's not going to shock Aaron at all.
No.
Or any of you, probably. Got to play a Thin Lizzy song. So this comes off Bad Reputation, released September 2nd, 1977. This is an incredible record. If you don't have Bad Reputation in your discography, you should definitely have it.
Oh, it's so good.
So many good songs on here. a lot of drama behind the making of this record, which if you listen to our Thin Lizzy episode with Greg Troy, and you'll get kind of the full story on that. But yeah, this was the exact first song that came to mind when Aaron told me about this theme, and it's Thin Lizzy with Dancing in the Moonlight.
When I passed you in the doorway, well, you took me with a glance. I should have took that last bus home, but I asked you for a dance. Now we go steady to the pictures. I always get chocolate stains on my pants. And my father, he's going crazy. He says I'm living in a trance. But I'm dancing in the moonlight. It's got me in its spotlight.
It's alright.
Dancing
all right.
In the moonlight. On this long, hot summer night. Obeyed another warning. I should have been in my tent. Now I won't get out till Sunday. I'll have to say I stayed with friends. Oh, but it's a habit worth forming if it means to justify the end.
Dancing in the moonlight. It's got me in its spotlight.
It's alright.
Dancing all right. In the moonlight. On this long, hot summer night.
And I'm walking home. The last bus is long gone. But I'm dancing in the moonlight.
Jazzy start for the day.
Yeah, I like that. Good upbeat start to things.
I love it. And I always do get chocolate stains on my pants.
Such a messy eater.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to learn a little something about the moon?
Yeah.
All right, I've got some moon facts for you. These are pretty interesting. The moon is the Earth's only natural satellite. It's estimated to have been formed over 4.5 billion years ago, and that's about the same age as the Earth itself. A lot of people talk about, scientists talk about something huge hit the Earth in its formative years and blasted a big chunk of it off, where the Earth would be a lot bigger without it. And so that's where our moon comes from. This is all speculation, because obviously nobody was there to see this shit happen.
I don't think so.
Both sides of the moon receive the same amount of sunlight, so technically, there is no dark side of the moon. Just the side of the moon that we don't see from Earth. I did not know that. Here's another one I didn't know. The moon drifts about 1.5 inches away from the Earth every single year.
Really?
It would take billions of years for it to make a difference. But 1.5 inches every year. Only 12 people have ever set foot on the moon. They were all Americans. We haven't been back in nearly 50 years, but the U.S. hopes to revisit the moon by 2024. And another fact is that in 1978, AC/DC released their stellar album, Power Age. Or Power Age.
Yeah.
However you want to say it. It's okay with me.
Power Age.
This album contains one of the best songs to ever reference the moon. When Cliff Williams, Phil Rudd, Angus and Malcolm Young, and Bon Scott ask the all-important question, what's next to the moon?
Favorite AC/DC record.
That's a great song. Love I like that. That was the first one that popped into my head when I was thinking about this.
Yeah, that's a good one. So for my next one, this is one that I think either one of us could have picked, and you actually kind of joked that you left it for me,
and
I scooped it up because I love this song. I'm going to do a song by King's X from the 1996 Ear Candy album. Another very under-the-radar, overlooked record. A lot of good stuff on this. Of course, Doug Pinnick on bass, Ty Tabor on guitar, and Jerry Gaskill on drums. One of the greatest three-piece bands to ever walk the earth.
Oh, most definitely.
Or the moon. And this song has a great vibe to it, and it sums up King's X pretty well. This is Mississippi Moon.
Yesterday we played.
don't get it. In 1996, how was that not a massive hit? I mean, you got stuff like Blind Melon out there, mm-hmm. Pearl Jam. That song would have fit right in between anything that was popular in 96 on the radio or MTV.
Well, you just have to ask Loose Cannon and Baco, who claim King's X is perfectly rated.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think they're too good and they're highly underrated.
I think they deserved more success, but I also see where they're coming from, where they were never really that. Their songs aren't really meant for giant consumption. Like, I think they're more of a musician's band.
Yeah,
and they're always hailed by musicians.
Yeah, for sure.
Doesn't take anything away from how great they are and how good the songs are. But yeah, I mean, but that song in particular should have probably done much better than it did.
And I'm usually a fan of the heavier stuff, but man, you cannot deny that song. It's beautiful.
It is.
I love it. Love me some King's X. All right, I got one for you. By 2001, it had been 7 years since Tracy Guns and Phil Lewis had recorded an album of new music together as LA Guns. In 1994, they released Vicious Circle, which was awesome, but it failed to chart in the U.S. because, well, 1994.
That's all you have to say, right?
Yeah. So between 94 and 2001, Phil Lewis would release two solo albums, as well as one with a band called Filthy Lucre. While Tracy and Steve Riley stuck it out as LA Guns, releasing two albums and an EP with Johnny Crypt on bass and three different lead vocalists. Tough times for LA Guns. In 1999, the classic lineup of Guns, Lewis, Riley, Mick Cripps, and Kelly Nichols reunited to release Greatest Hits and Black Beauties and Cocked and Reloaded, which were re-recorded versions of their classic songs.
Yeah.
That's also strange to me. I never really truly understood that.
Oh, well, rights.
Right, yeah. And chance to put it out there and make money off of it. But in 2001, they're back. And with the exception of Nichols, they come out with the Gilby Clark produced Man in the Moon.
Come and get you.
cool song, man.
Yeah, I've always liked that one.
Me too. Like LA Guns always put out good albums, and not always were people buying them, but yeah, it's always good.
And I like the production on it. Good job. Good job on Gilby's part.
Shoot, yeah. Now, we've always heard about the man in the moon, right? Everybody knows about the man in the moon, but who is he, really? Humans have always been known to see faces and inanimate objects, and the man in the moon is no exception. But throughout history, there's also some interesting mythology about the man in the moon. And in many cases, he's a banished criminal. Romans said it was an unscrupulous sheep thief. Ancient Germans said he was a man who robbed his own friends and neighbors. Chinese tradition said it was a woman who stole an immortality potion and then took a double dose.
Wow.
Banished to the moon forever. Early Christian lore places him as the man who was stoned to death for working on the Sabbath in the Old Testament Book of Numbers. I like this one. English tradition holds that the man in the moon is the god of drunkards. They're out there worshiping the man in the moon.
Ace Frehley's the man in the moon?
Uh-huh. The god of drunkards. The patron saint of getting messed up. And in Norse mythology, the man in the moon is Mani, who travels across the sky, constantly pursued by Hati, the great wolf. One day, the great wolf will devour the man in the moon and set off Ragnarok, which leads to the end of the world. It's all very metal.
That is very metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a Manowar song or something. Yeah,
the man in the moon.
I didn't know any of that stuff.
Yeah, no, me neither.
That's good knowledge.
I kind of found some weird, interesting facts while reading about the moon. Stuff I'd never really thought about before, so I thought I'd share it.
That's cool. So, this one's a kind of a cheat. It's not really much about the moon, but it's just one of my favorite songs where the moon's mentioned. So I'm gonna go lazy, but I like doing this. And any chance I get to play Racer X is a good day for me. So I went from King's X. Now I'm going to Racer X. If you don't know Racer X, Paul Gilbert, who you probably know from Mr. Big, was in this band, and with Jeff Martin on vocals, who you might know as the drummer on the second Badlands album, which would have been great knowledge for me when I met Eric Singer.
Search the archives for that joke.
Yeah. The response. Oh, thank you. Also, Bruce Boulay on guitar, Juan Alderetti on bass, and Scott Travis from Judas Priest on drums. I mean, hell of a lot of great musicians in this band, and this was for part of the Mike Varney Shrapnel label. You know, all the best shredding guitar players were on Varney's Shrapnel label. He was like the ultimate talent scout for guitar players. And Street Lethal was the first album in 1986, but this comes off of 1987's Second Heat. It's a cover of the David Bowie classic. This is Moon Age Daydream.
I'm an alligator. Well, I'm a mama papa calling for you. I'm a space invader. I'll be a rock and roll for you. Keep your mouth shut. You're squawking like a big monkey bird. That I'm busting out my brains for the world. Keep your we'll be right back.
Cool cover.
And now I'm going to piss off half our audience. That's better than the original.
Oh, man. By a million light years.
Somebody, I think David, I'd never clicked with David Bowie.
No.
Other than a handful of songs.
Handful of songs. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't get it.
Too artsy for me,
I guess. Yeah, I guess for me.
It's over my head.
Yeah.
I'm just a Kiss fan. I just love AC/DC. What do you want from
me? And my knowledge of David Bowie is, hey, did you know that Stevie Ray Vaughan played on that one David Bowie album? You know, you knew that.
I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I don't know shit about David Bowie.
Well, you know the song Let's Dance?
Yeah?
That's Stevie Ray Vaughan playing the guitar.
There's guitar in that song?
Yeah, there's actually a guitar solo on it.
Well, I guess I need to go to reevaluate my Bowie.
Well, yeah, that's the limit of my Bowie knowledge. Only because I like Stevie Ray Vaughan and I heard about it in an interview. But yeah,
Bowie's not all bad. He had his moments.
He did, but yeah, I'll take the Racer X version any day.
LA Guns does a really cool cover of that song.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I've never heard theirs.
Yeah, check that out.
I will. It's a great song to start with, though.
And I thought, since you were doing a cover, maybe I should do one, too. And so, in researching this, I was looking at different things, you know, talking about songs on the moon. And a website I came across was the good old Ranker.com. Mm-hmm. And so, I thought I'd share with you the top five Ranker.com songs about the moon.
Okay.
All right. Number five is Moon River by Frank Sinatra.
I should have played that.
Number four is Harvest Moon by Neil Young. That would have been perfect for today.
Except not a fan.
Neil Young. Number three, Moon Dance by Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Can't hate on that one.
I like some Van Morrison stuff.
Number two, Frank Sinatra's back with Fly Me to the Moon. He loves songs about the moon. People loved it when he sang songs about the moon.
Heavier side of Frank Sinatra episode? Once we run out of ideas?
I don't want to have to do the research for that.
He was packing on at least 30 more pounds in the 80s, so...
And what do you think is the number one song about the moon, according to Ranker.com?
Bad Mood Rising.
You nailed it. CCR classic. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's the number one song. I'd include that. But I think most people are sick of hearing that song.
It's basically a radio staple.
So I found something even cooler. This is badass right here. Crank this up. You're going to love it. It's Leatherwolf. Yeah, that's right. Metal. Doing a cover of Bad Moon Rising.
Tonight.
Crash Moon Rising.
Love it. That awesome cover appeared on the B-side of the single Cry Out from their self-titled album in 1987. They only released three albums in the 80s, but then they returned in the mid-2000s and have periodically released new music since then. They're expected to release a new album next year and have recently released a song called The Henchman, which is pretty badass, worth checking out.
I haven't heard that yet.
Leather Wolf.
Yeah, that's a name I didn't expect to hear for after a long time.
No, it's pretty cool. I like that.
I always thought it was one of the coolest band names of all time.
Yeah,
Leather Wolf is just a cool
tells you exactly what you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So,
it'd be funny if like Oasis named themselves Leather Wolf.
This sounds nothing like what I expected.
Right.
So I'm going to throw a curveball here. I don't know that I've ever played a song by this band on the show. But thanks to the Spotify search engine where you can search by song title, I just started flipping through and seeing what songs had Moon in the title.
Yeah.
So mostly disappointed by all the stuff I tried out. But I saw it came upon this one by Dream Theater. And we've had several listeners over the years going, you guys should play Dream Theater more often.
Yeah.
I've never fully gotten into this band. The times I've really tried to, they're just a little too proggy for my taste.
Yeah. Is there such a thing as a band that's too damn talented? I can't listen to this band. They're too talented.
That's kind of why I can't get into it. Like, there's not a lot of hooky stuff. It's a lot of meandering, which from a musician perspective, I totally love what they do. But if I just want to listen to a great song that rocks my face off, usually they're not the choice.
Right.
But
when you listen to them, you can't really rock out because you're too busy going, holy shit, holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How did they, how is this, what?
Listen to that keyboard
song.
Yeah. But I found this song from the 1992 Atco Records release, Images and Words, which I, as far as I know, among Dream Theater fans, is like one of their masterpieces.
Yeah.
Most non-Dream Theater fans like me know the song Pull Me Under. That was the big hit.
Right.
That was kind of their big opening to a lot of people. But I thought this song was really great. And I listened to it several times when I was doing my research for what songs I wanted to pick. Written by John Petrucci, this is Dream Theater with Under a Glass Moon.
Silence dance.
Hang on a second. Oh, I got to wait for my brain to decompress after that.
Yeah.
Wow.
7 minutes of awesome.
What? How? What is? How could this? Wow.
But some Dream Theater. Some great riffing on that song.
Oh, man, that's amazing. And after I listened to that, you turned me on to that because I'd never listened to it before.
Yeah.
I checked out something on YouTube to see if there was a live version of it because it's such a cool song, you know, and it's like 20 different songs in one and they're all badass.
Right.
But there's a video on YouTube where they're showing Mike Portnoy back there on the drums while they're doing this song live, but the video camera stays on him.
Oh, he's amazing.
That song is a great showcase of what that guy can do.
Yeah, I listened to it like several times. I was like, this one's sticking with me, so maybe I need to be more open-minded about Dream Theater and really give them more of a shot.
Definitely, I think so. That's what's good about doing something like this, you know? Even we can introduce ourselves to new stuff.
Yeah, and for those of you listening that kind of know my taste and what I'm into, and you're a Dream Theater fan, go into the comment section for this episode and give me some suggestions of Dream Theater songs you think I would like.
Top 5 Dream Theater songs that AC/DC fans would love.
Exactly. It'd be interesting to see what comes up. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a Dream Theater episode down the road.
Nice. Well, I've got one that I don't think we've ever played on the show either. Not a full song anyway.
Yeah.
But this is one of my all-time favorite Godsmack songs. It's the first track off their first album, their 1998 debut. Now, even after all these years and all the albums Godsmack's put out, this one is still, I think, one of their very best, and it was the first song that I ever heard by them, and I always dug it. So if you're ready, let's take a blast to the moon, baby.
Don't ask why.
Godsmack on Decibel Geek.
I've always liked that song.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm not a huge Godsmack fan, but that album still sticks with me. I still pull that one out.
Definitely. Yeah, I liked that a lot when it was new. Hey, you know, so doing research on the moon, I got to ask you, what do you know about moon rabbits?
I know nothing about moon rabbits. What are moon rabbits?
Okay, so if you look into this, you'll find that there's many, many legends about rabbits on the moon throughout human history. I accidentally went down the moon rabbit hole on this one, my friend.
I've never heard of this.
Because this is pretty fascinating, because I found this amazing story from ancient Japan told by the Buddha about four friends, an otter, a jackal, a monkey, and a rabbit, who all vowed to create a charitable act. So the monkey brought his easily accessible mangoes. The otter brought some fish that it had found abandoned on the lake shore, and the jackal brought some food that it had stolen. So all three present their gifts to beggars as their act of charity. Meanwhile, the rabbit, well, he's only got access to grass, which he realizes is not going to work to help a starving beggar. So instead, the rabbit decided that he would offer his own body for the nourishment of the needy. The rabbit's resolve disturbed a god, who decided to come to Earth to more closely examine the rabbit's virtue. He disguised himself as a beggar and asked the rabbit for something to eat, who was overjoyed to find somebody with which he could share his ultimate sacrifice. The god built a fire to see if the rabbit would follow through, and the rabbit threw himself into it, but did not burn. Impressed, the god revealed himself and said, "O wise hare, be thy virtue known throughout the whole eon." And with that, the god carved the sign of the rabbit on the surface of the moon. And people still see if they look for it. If you look at the picture and hold it up and look at it and go, okay, now I know what I'm looking for, you can see a rabbit kind of carved into the moon.
No kidding. Wow.
But there's all kinds of crazy stories about rabbits on the moon and moon rabbits and rabbits from the moon.
Huh.
It's really weird. Weird stuff. Moon rabbits.
Maybe rabbits are aliens.
I don't know. They're down here watching us, the least suspecting.
That's bizarre.
Who would ever thought it was the rabbits that took us out?
Wow.
We never saw it coming.
No. Oh, interesting.
Pretty wild story, though, huh?
That is a wild story.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Absolutely. All right, so I got my last pick today. And this is one where I feel like I'm kind of making up for a mistake I made a couple of years back. In 2017, Boba Flex released Eloquent Demons, and it did not make my top 10 list of the year. And I don't know why it didn't, because I found this song, and then I started listening to the whole record. I'm like, why the hell was this not in my top 10 list of the year? So apologies to Boba Flex, although I should say the now defunct Boba Flex, because I think they just finished their final tour.
Really?
Yeah, they were going to split up.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, and
well,
Jim
sucks, because Boba Flex is awesome.
They are, and also Jimmy Toland, who is the bass player in Boba Flex, listens to Decibel Geek.
Can we appreciate that you listen?
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy. But yeah, this is Eloquent Demons is a really solid record from start to finish. I was surprised.
I was listening to it too. I put it on the YouTube just to listen to the song that you suggested.
Yeah.
And it just kind of rolled on through the rest of the album, and I just let it go
because
I was
good.
Digging it the whole time.
Yeah. So I don't know why I didn't make my list, but
I gotta go buy it now.
Yeah, me too. And but I'm gonna showcase a great song from it. This is "Moon in the Shadows" by Boba Flex.
Every inch of you quivering.
You think it sucks for Boba Flex to be like, oh, now you guys want to go buy the album.
I know.
Back when we needed you to buy it, where were you? And now we both want it.
Well, I'll be buying that one because I was surprised how good it was.
Well, and see, that's the lesson to be learned right there. You know, all this music you hear us play, no matter what episode of the Decibel Geek podcast it is, if you find something you love and you got to have it, go out and buy it, you know, and of course, go follow these bands at their websites on the Facebook or wherever they're at, you know, like them, tell them you heard it on the Decibel Geek podcast, you know, let them know that you're interested. And then when they come to your town, go see them live, buy a ticket, buy a t-shirt, keep it alive. That's what we're trying to do. We can't do it by ourselves. We've said it a million times. We need your help. So help us keep all these awesome bands that write kick-ass songs about the moon alive.
Yeah, and people need to realize that, especially in these days, listeners make a direct impact on these bands' longevity and their success level. And it's not about record companies anymore. It's like they really do depend on you buying their stuff.
Right.
And if you like it, show them appreciation and buy it.
One of the most important things I think you can do is if you've got a band that you like and you know they're coming out with something new, pre-order that sucker.
Yeah.
You know? Show the world that people are anticipating new albums coming out by awesome bands. You know, that's something you should definitely do.
Yeah. So that's all mine for today.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else?
Any more moon facts?
I got some more moon facts. This is pretty interesting because we haven't been to the moon in almost 50 years, you know, and so that long ago, technology was a lot different.
But did we go to the moon?
Well, I guess if you believe we went to the moon.
No, I'm not being serious.
Then they'd say it was about 50 years ago. But they say with technology the way it is today, they could easily bring stuff with them that would have took up so much room on the original Apollo 11 that went to the moon that they would have never been able to bring all that stuff. They brought back 50 pounds of moon rocks, but it was all basically from the same area, you know, and there's different regions of the moon. You know, there's North Poles and South Poles and all kinds of things going on the moon. So it's kind of exciting that somebody's planning on going back.
That's cool.
In 2024. And these are some questions that we still don't know about the moon. And we've been past the moon now. You know, we've sent satellites and rovers to Mars, you know. But there's still a lot of questions about the moon that need to be answered. Now, they've established that there is ice on the moon. And, you know, ice, that means water. But they have no idea where it comes from or how it got there. And most importantly, what the water's chemical makeup is. And if that could be something useful to us.
Right.
So that'd be pretty interesting to find that out. It's been established that there are moonquakes, you know, like earthquakes, but on the moon. But what's unknown is what causes this tectonic activity, and it leads many experts to feel that there's a lot more to the moon than just a big dead rock in the sky.
I thought it was made of cheese.
Well,
I'm very disappointed. My parents lied to me.
Oh, man. It's also been discovered that there's a multitude of dormant volcanoes on the surface of the moon. It's an educated guess that they haven't erupted in millions of years, but they're definitely still there with no answers on whether they could ever become active again or not.
Hmm.
That'd be pretty strange, huh? Volcanoes on the moon?
Yeah.
But they don't know what it's made out of. They haven't been there in so long.
Jeez, I told you.
Now, something we do know is that the gravitational pull of the moon has effects on the tide on the oceans of the Earth. But what is the opposite effect? What effect does the Earth have on the moon? And why does only one side of the moon always face the Earth? Who knows?
Who knows?
Got to go back and find these things out. Scientists, through satellite surveillance, have recently discovered that there's something massive hidden inside the biggest crater on the moon, located at its south pole, but nobody knows what it is.
Have you heard that the conspiracy that Hitler's people actually got up on the moon and there's like a Nazi base up on the moon?
I mean, anything's...
There's even a movie made about it, I
think. Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything's possible. I mean, back in, I think, 1958, both the United States and the Soviet Union were working to be able to detonate a nuclear device on the moon.
Well, that's not a good idea.
Something that you could see from Earth to intimidate the other.
Yikes.
Good thing that never happened.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a smart thing to do.
They probably blew it up on the South Pole, and God knows what the hell's underneath there now.
Wow.
Some kind of Godzilla thing.
We need to do another conspiracy episode.
Oh, yeah.
Without the guests.
Everybody's clamoring for that.
No, but one where we bring up the topics, because I love talking about that stuff.
Yeah, me too. just mix rock and roll into it somehow.
You're all going to think we're kooks when it's over, but yeah. It would be fun to do.
Lace Frehley was abducted by aliens,
of
you know?
Of course.
And if that happened, anything's possible.
Captain Morgan and his band of merry men came and got him.
But before we wrap up here today, there is one thing that is not a mystery to scientists or anybody else, and that is the magnitude of the music of Ronnie James Dio and its positive effects it's had on the people of Earth. So, in this season of the Harvest Moon and our celebration of abundance in our lives, we must take into account the bountiful years of enjoyment that he has given us. From the very beginning up until the very end, this is the title track from Dio's 10th and final studio album, and it rocks hard. This is Master of the Moon, and we'll see you next week.
See you later.
And then It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.